talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Question Reality. I am your host, Priscilla Leona, and we are coming to you live from Hollywood, California. Our show is broadcast every Sunday from 5 p.m. to 5:50 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Now, if this is your first time tuning in, our show will help you to question your career reality. Now, this show is for you if you were, are, or might be considering a career in the entertainment industry. Our guests will provide you with advice and resource information on how and what it takes to successfully pursue a career in show business. Now, our guests work in various professions of entertainment, so that means that we will always have someone on the show from a career that you are interested in. Now, if you want to check out our past guests, read their bios, listen to their interview instantly, or download one of the shows, you want to go to the LA Talk Radio website. That's latalkradio.com. And if you're listening to me live, you're already there. If you're listening to me, period, you're already there. Click on the link at the top of the website that says Channel 1. Scroll down and look for the graphic of our show, Question Reality, and you just click the link. This takes you directly to our archive page where you can look at the list of all of our past guests and find out who you want to listen to. Now, our shows are also available for download on iTunes under the podcast section. So you just go to the podcast section, type in Question Reality Radio in the search box, and there you go. You'll see all of our shows. Now, we are booked usually 6 months to a year in advance. We are currently booking for the new year. If you want to be a guest on our show, if you're in the entertainment industry or you know someone who's a professional in the entertainment industry, you do not have to live in California. We can do what's called remote shows like we're doing with our guests today. You can find out more about that by going directly to our website, questionrealityshow.com, questionrealityshow.com. And it'll have a list of all of our guests that are going to be on up until – we're booked up until April. But the sooner the better. The sooner you book, the better, because we fill up pretty fast, thank goodness. And it also we have a lot of excitement coming up next week. We are going to have a psychic on the show, and he has given me permission to open up the line. So if you want to communicate with that dead relative, why do I sound so happy about that? If you want to communicate with a loved one, does that sound better? You want to communicate with a loved one, whether human or animal, I think he does both, you will be able to do that. So you would just call in on our regular line during the time that he's doing the show. We're on Channel 1, of course, but you might want to jot the number down, area code 323-203-0815, area code 323-203-0815. And he is a celebrity psychic. He's done tons of people in the entertainment business, and you want to tune in for that show and give us a call to find out if someone has a message for you. You never know if someone left you in their will and you've got some damn money coming to you. So you got to tune in and find out what Uncle Herman left you. So that will be an exciting show. His name is William Constantine. Okay. All right. So without further ado, you know what? I got to mention something real quick. Last night, my husband and I went to see one of our dear friends, Daniel Krause, in a play called Run for Your Wife by Ray Cooney. And it is playing at the West Valley Playhouse. It is fantastic. As some of you know, that's a British farce, and it was done so well, directed by John Barry. We loved it, and it's so hard to find a good comedy these days, especially a good British comedy. So if you are in the Los Angeles area, you want to go and check that out at the West Coast. Oh gosh, I hope I remember it. I go to so many places, I'm not sure where I am half the time, but I believe it's the West Coast Valley Playhouse in somewhere, Canoga Park, yes, on I'm not sure where the hell I was, but it's in Canoga Park. If you want to know more, email me, priscillaleone@yahoo.com. Okay, so without further ado, let's talk to our guest today. I am so happy to have her with us. Her name is Sarah Richard. She is a novelist. Her website, in case you want to check it out while we're going over her brief bio, is victoriacannon.webs.com. Victoria, just like it's spelled, V-I-C-T-O. Excuse me, I have a cold today, so I am just barely holding back a cough. So I apologize if I'm coughing in your ear today. Victoria Cannon, victoriacannon.webs.com. She's also on Facebook. Now, Victoria Cannon is the pen name of our guest today, author Sarah Richard. And Sarah grew up in New Orleans. Woo, spicy girl. She relocated to Pearl. Oh, God, if I only knew what MS stood for. I'm going to say Mississippi, and hopefully that's correct. She relocated to Mississippi. She holds a Master's of Arts degree, and many of her stories have been published through various print and online publishers. And some of the titles are Child of the Fallen Angels. I love that. I can totally see that being a movie. Tanya, So Good, and Locked. Those are some of her latest stories. Now, what intrigued me is that she put a little clause on there that some people have to be 18 and up to read her novels. So I am wondering what is in that. Mm-hmm. We are going to find out. So without further ado, let's welcome Sarah Richard to the show. Are you there, Sarah?
Hello, thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course. Now, I hope you got some high energy because I am just on fire and I'm just nonstop. People think I'm on something. I don't even do drugs. I haven't done drugs since the 80s. And then it was like a half a joint, and then I was eating everything in the refrigerator, and then I went to sleep. But I'm just high energy, so I hope I'm not too overwhelming for you.
Oh, no, not at all. I'm actually thinking about next week's show to see what Uncle Herman left me.
Well, hell yeah. I mean, who knows out there? Sometimes, we have good luck, but then when we have bad luck, we're like, oh, my God, there's somebody out there. I've got a curse on me. I'm jinxed. So maybe next week we can find out who the hell's stalking us in the shadows, right?
Right, definitely.
Now, Victoria, do you want me to call you Victoria? Now, Victoria Cannon, which I love that name. That sounds like a porn name. I'm all over it. Do you want me to call you Sarah Richard, Sarah, or Victoria? What do you want?
Well, Victoria's actually my middle name, so I will answer to both, Sarah or Victoria.
I'm going to go Sarah because I just heard one of my favorite songs, which is Sarah Smile. So I'm going to just call you Sarah.
Oh, no. I get sung that song all the time.
Oh, God, it's one of my favorites. I love that song. I wanted to change my name legally when I heard the song. I said, that's it. I want to change my name. I love that name so much. So let me call you Sarah today and be happy. All right, Sarah. Now, when you were a little girl, this is a question I ask everyone because what you want to be when you're little and what you end up doing may be the same thing or it may be something totally different. So I am always intrigued to have the answer come out of people with this question. So when you were a little girl, what did little Sarah Victoria Richard want to be? What did she want to do for her profession?
I was always a writer, even as a little child. I think I wrote my first song on the piano at 8. It's just something I've always been.
Well, that makes sense because you grew up in New Orleans, and that is, I mean, you hear music everywhere. You go to sleep, there's no music playing. I would imagine you hear music in your head. It's a blues, jazz-oriented town. Do you think that hearing constantly the blues and jazz music is what influenced you to get on that little piano and write your little song?
Well, I guess I'm always been more into the rock and the alternative. Even little, you know, we like the drums, the bass, that kind of thing. So even though being from New Orleans, there is a lot of that jazz and the blues stuff, I think I go the other direction.
I see. So you were a black sheep and an outcast in New Orleans. All right, we're seeing what's happening. All right. So now, when I assume that you told your parents, I mean, everybody gets asked, what do you want to do when you grow up? Little Maria Conchita Alonso, what do you want to be? So when people asked you when you were little, did you come out and say, oh, I want to be a writer?
Actually, I think I probably said the last thing I'm going to be is a teacher, because I come from a family of, well, teachers and engineers. And that's what I wound up being for a while as a professional, and the writing was more of a side thing and a freelance thing.
Now, see, you've jumped way ahead to my third question. Now, you're way ahead of me. Let me ask you the questions, girl. All right. Now, did you have support from your family when they found out you wanted to be a writer? Or they probably didn't, because you went ahead and became a teacher, correct? What are some of the professions you had? And when you've told your family you wanted to be a writer, what kind of support did you get from them? We'll take that two-part question.
Well, as far as being a writer, I think that was something, you know, I always did. I was always writing stories, always writing songs, always writing letters, and the sport was always there, because that's just kind of who I was, and everybody accepted me for me. And then the teaching profession just kind of came, it just kind of came natural, because it was something, well, if I like writing, might as well teach it. So you kind of intertwine the two things.
And you did come from a family of teachers, did you say, right?
Teachers and engineers.
Yeah.
Engineers, that was out of the question, because I'm not a fan of calculus, so.
Oh, who in the hell is? I don't even know what to do with it, to be honest with you. Okay, so when you told your family that you wanted to become a professional writer, did you tell them with, hey, I'm quitting my job and I'm going to write full force? Or did you know, dip your toe in the water, keep your day job, and kind of write on the side? Take us to how you started out. How did you get started on the more professional side of writing?
Definitely dipping my toe in the water and starting out slowly and really just kind of exploring the different genres. I've tried to write, like, not stick to one particular genre where everything's going to be a love story or everything's going to be a horror story or everything's going to be comedy. Just do a little bit of this and that and really develop the craft.
So when you first decided that you wanted to write, what was the first story? Now, I'm talking about, like, complete story you wrote. What type was it? Horror, romantic, comedy?
The first published one was actually a children's Christian story.
Oh, my Lord. Boy, you jump all over the map, don't you? What, you got ADD?
Yes.
You're like my husband. We got ADD. He can do like 5 million things, and they're totally unrelated. Well, what type of novels do you write now? I mean, do you have such a diverse arrangement on the bookshelf now, or have you narrowed it down and found out what you really like and narrowed it down?
I really think I like writing different things. I get bored real easily with one certain genre, and to me, it just makes you a better writer to be able to do the different things. I mean, some of it can be professional worksheets, you know, educational stuff. Others can be fiction. And I really like writing comedy. I think that's just a way of releasing from everything that goes on in the day. Comedy is real fun to write. But the last 3 books have actually been erotic romance novels or short stories. So.
Lord have mercy, girl. What is going on over there? What are you on, and can I get some? Romantic novels and then comedies and then horrors. Are you dropping some microdot acid over there? What's going on? Are you in Mississippi? You got so what? You know, I heard hallucinogens make you extremely talented, and you can do just about everything because you got it all going on over there, don't you? Well, let me ask you as far as supplemental incomes. Can you recommend some supplemental income jobs that might be good for people, writers, that will allow them to keep their creative juices flowing, say, when they're just starting out? They don't, I mean, come on, the writer, the job of a writer starts out, you are poor as a church mouse. So unless you have a silver spoon and have a lot of money to be able to just do it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you probably want to keep a day job or have a part-time job. What job can you take where it's not so all-encompassing, mind-draining, that you still are able to have that creative spark? What jobs would you recommend?
Well, I've actually looked on the search engines for writing jobs, and you got to watch those because some of them aren't, you know, what they make themselves seem to be. But I found a lot of freelance work, kind of more like the contract work, consultant work, and I've actually made the most money as of now writing educational stuff. There is a little bit of a market for that where they want people to write the assessments and write test questions and whatnot.
Test questions for what? For schools?
Different things. Reading, writing, math, different kind of subjects.
Well, my question is, how do you write test questions if you're not well-versed in the subject?
Well, the other thing that I've found seems to place a lot more is nonfiction stuff, where it seems like the fiction market is probably the hardest to place and make money. But, you know, it all comes down to your research. Even if you're not real familiar with a subject, if you research it right, you're fine.
So that makes sense. So you're recommending that people starting out who want to be writers actually look online and get jobs as writers. But will somebody hire you if you don't really have a resume that you are a writer?
Well, if you start with the smaller contract jobs, you build up your portfolio. And then you can eventually, you know, the goal would be you can find full-time jobs as a writer, whether it's writing for a newsletter for a company or even being a technical writer. There's a lot of openings for that kind of stuff, too. But you got to start, you know, I mean, well, I don't know if saying starting small is the right word, but you start with, you know, little projects and build your way up. And as you build your portfolio, more people start to notice. You get hired for more jobs. And the pay starts to go up.
Is there, for example, you would go to Craigslist to post something. Everybody knows Craigslist for certain things. Is there a certain website within the writer world that you go to for a resource like that?
Well, most of the engines I do, like Monster, I found a couple things, I think, on Monster Career Builder. I'm real hesitant. I mean, I found some things on Craigslist, but with Craigslist, you really got to go through those because a lot of them, you know, you get a scam email as a reply. So you just got to be careful and make sure, you know, the company. The one I think I found on Craigslist, this was when I was living in Baltimore, Maryland. I actually went to the building and went to the company and met the people there before I started working for them. And I was able to do it with a bunch of math assessments. And it was, you know, very basic math to algebra. And you write that stuff and upload it into a computer. And I got paid a little bit of money for that. So you just want to investigate who you're emailing. Because a lot of times, too, sometimes I'll get a reply and I'll get an email. I'll just Google that email and you find out, you know, oh, it's a Facebook page linked up to a kid. No, this isn't a legit job offer. So you've really got to watch the jobs that you're taking and investigate who it is that's posting it. Is this a legitimate company? Are they actually going to do what they're, you know, say they're doing and that kind of thing? Or is it somebody just saying, hey, I'm a producer looking for a script and it's just a student with a camera, you know?
Right. So I like that. I like how you said just look for jobs that that you have to write, because for actors, for example, or musicians, a lot of them take jobs as waitresses or bartenders. And I thought maybe that's something you were going to recommend, but you're recommending just go right in there and look for writing jobs. Now, I didn't know you could find writing jobs on Monster.com or Career Builder. I mean, to me, these seem like websites where you would go find more professional jobs. So you're saying that there are jobs listed on these top websites for writers?
I've seen contract writing jobs, definitely. You know,
wow.
It'll be an underwriting service, or and they're looking for people to contribute passages for a test, or again the assessment questions. Or one was even looking for, it was I'm trying to think of the right words to use it, but it was looking for people who could basically develop like training modules. You know, it wasn't full-time work, it's contract, so if you've got rent to pay, you probably do need a waitress job on the side, but
right
they were
yeah.
still good jobs that gave you some experience, so once you get, you know, gather up enough of that experience, you can go for those full-time positions, because there are full-time positions out there, but right now the applicant pool is so filled with experienced people.
Yeah.
You really gotta have your stuff together.
Mm-hmm. I would imagine. Now, what type of education do you feel is necessary to become a successful writer, ultimately?
Well, I think most of the jobs that I've seen, they actually look for a four-year degree, English degree, technical writing degree. And I know that's been a challenge for me, just having a liberal arts degree as opposed to an English degree, where they're going to automatically rule me out if I don't meet that minimum requirement. So
you have a master's in what?
Arts.
Oh, you have a master's in the arts. I see.
Right.
So, but so they do they discriminate because you don't have a master's in English or communication or something like that?
Well, a lot of the technical writing jobs, it seems like it's just a job requirement. Sometimes they'll have or related degree, you know, and I think if you have enough experience, you might, you know, be able to negotiate a job. But
it's definitely
hard.
Yeah, I mean, I there are so many people who make it from point A to point B with an education and without an education. So there are people who are naturally talented and can pick up a pen and paper, and they've never even had – Christ, I think I know some writers that just have a college – I mean a high school diploma, and they've become famous writers. But so I've never really felt like there's one path or another to take. It just depends whatever works best for you. Some people just absolutely are not college-minded, and they still make it work and become very, very successful. Ah, Bill Gates, perfect example. Okay, so, but what kind of...
I definitely agree. There's no one path. I mean,
yeah.
As of my writing career right now, it's something I do more as a freelance contract kind of work. It's not a full-time job. But the things I've found as far as, you know, Monster and Career Builder that are professional,
that just seems to be what
they're looking for.
Of course, if you're a technical writer, you do have to have technical abilities to write. I would imagine that's writing manuals or writing instructions for things. I would imagine
exactly. You
do have to have a degree for that, for sure. Now, if people want to write, first of all, you named a little bit of the types of books that you write. If people wanted to write the types of books you write, do they necessarily have to take the educational path that you took, which is to have a degree? Do you really think that somebody can just pick up pen and paper, and start writing? And if so, if they didn't want to go the route of getting a degree, say they don't want to go out of college at all, but they have so many ideas and stories in their head and they just feel like they got to get them out, what do you recommend for those people?
Well, that's actually a good question, because I've always believed education is not always a degree or school. Some people don't learn best in a school setting, and there's many different ways to learn, and there's many different ways to develop your talent. You don't necessarily need a degree behind your name. However, you do need to know how to write, and there are things that are just common mistakes people make all the time. And I saw that when I was teaching. Words like a lot, people always misspell. They put it all together. Punctuation, capitalization. I mean, it sounds very basic.
Right.
Or even being able to focus your thoughts in a paragraph. As basic as that sounds, people struggle with it because what's in your mind, you try to get it all on paper.
Sarah, I'm so with you on this. I can't even tell you how strongly I feel about what you're saying because I get so frustrated reading people's emails. Oh, my God. I cannot get through some people's emails. They say two, T-O-O, when it's supposed to be two. And then there, T-H-E-R-E, they'll put T-H-E-I-R. And it's
right.
And these are people with degrees, like masters and PhDs. I get emails from people. And so it's like amazing to me that these people have a degree and they cannot write. And also, conversely, there are people who have no education, who don't have a four-year degree, who write beautiful emails. And I'm like, oh, I get excited about punctuation and grammar. I really do. And
right.
So I don't think that I don't think a degree actually determines everyone's lot in life. It really depends on natural talent, creativity, marketing, drive. So much of your personality has to be put into your career because you've got to be able to have the drive.
But as far as being a successful writer, I think, you know, the first step is whether you get it in a classroom or learn it on your own some kind of way, is you need to be able to write, and there's just some basic rules you have to know.
Yes, you do have to have the basic building blocks. But, you know, a lot of people are poor, can't go to a four-year college. But there are alternatives. There's community college, which I don't know. It's kind of getting expensive to go there. But you don't need to go get a two-year degree to just take some basic creative writing classes. They have them listed in your local newspapers. They have them online. Am I correct?
There's a lot of interactive websites online that I've seen just to help with those basic, you know, there, and there, to be able to determine which is the right spelling of there to put in a sentence. Little things like that. I think
Absolutely.
If you Google, I'm trying to think what we used to Google. We used to put in
you can Google anything.
Interactive online quizzes
right.
for English, and those kind of things would pop up, and it's just, gives you that extra brain power, if nothing else, just to keep your skills sharp.
That's right. And there, if you need to know how to do anything in the world, I mean, I'm talking about how to screw a light bulb in. It goes from that simple all the way up to how to build a hot air balloon. You go to a website called eHow, E-H-O-W, and you can type
that.
You type in a question, it will tell you how to do it. I mean, anything. Wikipedia provides that. So there's really no excuse for anyone saying, I can't afford a degree. You know, my grandmother told me something once that I didn't pay much attention to back when I was a teenager, but now I see what she was talking about. She said, anyone who complains that they became a deadbeat or a loser in life because they couldn't afford an education, they are a total waste because everything you need to learn is in the library. You can't afford it? Take your old lazy ass to the library, and everything you need to have is right there. You just open up a book and read it. And if you can't read, you know, find out how to read. But, and I really believe that. So it's the difference between a person going out there and doing it. And if you want it bad enough, you're going to get it.
Very
right?
true.
That's
Absolutely.
True. And there is no excuse for anyone. You only really get in life what you really want. And people don't understand that sometimes, and they say, what the hell does that mean? Well, think about it. If your ass is thirsty, what are you going to do? You are going to get yourself some water. If you're hungry, you're going to get yourself some food. If you don't have the means to get it financially, you see what people will do to get drugs. It would be the same situation if people couldn't get food or water. If you want it, you'll find a way to get it, and that applies to everything in your life. If you want it bad enough, you'll find a way. If you don't find a way, then you never really wanted it bad enough in the first place. That's my philosophy on things. So now I'm going to get off the pulpit, honey, and let's get back to old Sarah here. All right. Now, what is your inspiration for how do you get in the zone? I know a lot of writers tell me that they need to go to Mammoth, or they need to go to Big Bear to get in the zone, or they need to take a bubble bath, or there's some alcohol involved. How do you get in the zone to write a book? Are you just on driving and you think of a topic and you just start writing it? Are you on the toilet and you grab some toilet paper? You know, what the hell happens in your process, Victoria? I mean, Sarah.
It's almost like the artist's curse, if you've ever heard that phrase before.
Mm-hmm.
Almost like you got so much in your head and so many stories that you just have to get them out, and you write them and get them out. And it's just, I don't know, one of those things that just come natural, and the stories just come to me, and I put them out, and I really don't have to get into any kind of a zone. Writing is something I do on a daily basis.
Well, you know, one of the Beatles, I don't remember which one it was, he used to be in the shower and songs would just come to them. That's always fascinated me, how creative people, their minds work. They can be doing one thing, and then a thought pops in their head. They just start writing the words to a song or a poem or whatever, and it doesn't matter what the hell you're doing. You're in the middle of having hot, kinky sex, traveling the Hershey Highway, and they have a thought. That's it. You're done for the night. And I love it. I think it's amazing that things can spark out of the blue. Now, are your books paperback, hardcover, ebooks, a combination? What?
Right now, I'm sticking mainly to ebooks. I'm big on going green. I think ebooks are pretty neat just because they're easy to download. You can adjust things like print. So, you know, if you have trouble reading those small words, you just click a button and the words are bigger.
Yeah. What was the big store that went out of business? Was it Borders or Barnes & Noble? Which one went out of business? Like one of the big stores?
Ooh.
They closed
them down. I want to say Borders, but I'm not 100% sure.
Oh, man. I hope it's not Borders, because I got a whole bunch of gift certificates for my birthday last year. Well, one of the big ones, I'm not sure. I mean, it was Borders or Barnes & Noble. I don't know. But, I mean, you're seeing bookstores closing right and left, and it's very, very sad. They only have the mom and pop bookstores, and I think either Borders or Barnes & Noble, one of them is still hanging on, the big one, but they are closing, and it's very, very sad. I like the whole ebook thing, but there's something about picking up a book and having it physically in your hand and touching the pages and then dog-earing the pages and turning the pages. There's something more cozy about that, more familiar. I don't know
if it's because don't get mad at me for saying this, but that's your generation talking. The generation coming up.
Oh, hold
the generation
on,
coming up oh, does not feel oh, that way. And if
I
you
know,
think about it,
know,
even look, even Blockbuster's closing down because of all the digital movie downloads.
That's what I was about to say before you say anything. I was about to say, I don't know if it's because of my age, but because, or, you know, I mean, I'm not that old, for God's sake, but I do know that, the Kindles and everything is digital now, and I completely understand. And I'm just a little sad about it, and there is still a thing about, you know, the physical book. But for the young generation, it's about holding that iPad or Kindle in their hand or whatever the hell it
right.
is. So that's their thing. So, yeah, but until we die off, we're still going to like books. Until my generation dies off, I think you can hold on to the books. Next thing you know, what are they going to do with the books? What are they going to put them in a pile and burn them? What are they going to do with the books when all the bookstores close? That's a sad thing.
Going back to education, I really believe it's going to come to a point, and probably in our lifetime, where books won't exist, the classroom won't even exist. Everything's going to be online, individualized learning, that kind of thing.
I know. I really believe that. I don't think in our lifetime, but, well, maybe yours. I don't know how old you are, but I don't think in my lifetime I'll see that. But I will probably see the beginnings of that, because it's coming. I mean, right now they've got the telework and they've got the online classroom. So it is coming, and it's a good thing, and God knows it'll be great for people. But what about the socialization that's involved? So much of our lives depend on social skills. I don't know what's going to happen to that, but I won't be there to worry about it. So there you go.
Well, it's now, already happening. Look at Facebook and how the kids are with texting these days. Yeah. That's becoming the new social norm.
I know. I know, but you still got to go out and live a life in order to have something to Facebook about. I mean, if you don't go out, then what?
Well, I don't know. They're saying, I think it was the John Tesh radio show I was listening to, because that's what they got on out here in Mississippi. I forget what the exact numbers were, but more people were saying they prefer to meet people online rather than in person, and it's just really changing.
Well, I don't know how much fun you can have doing that. That doesn't seem fun to me. But again, I'm a little bit old school. I believe in getting out there and having fun and doing some. As Olivia Newton-John said, getting physical. Let's get physical. So I'm all about that. Not that physical, but you know what I mean. I mean, you can only chat and be online for so long. It's like you got to hug someone and laugh and touch someone. I don't know. It's just too much for me. But again, that's for the next generation to worry about. Now, I noticed some of your books were labeled 18 and up. Why are they labeled for eyes only 18 and up? What the hell do you have going on in that books?
Because they're erotic e-books, that's why.
You
have to be 18 to buy them.
Girl, what are you doing in those books? What kind of words are you using?
I could probably use the thesaurus more, you know, at this stage of my life than I ever did when I was in school. But yeah, it's surprising how you can take a statement, just like, you know, they kissed, and write it 100 different ways using the thesaurus.
Really?
It can be a little fun, a little interesting some nights.
Well, some nights, there you go. So the 18 and up are they sort of Harlequin romance type novels, or are we talking Debbie Does Dallas type stuff?
Well, I'd like to think, though, even with the stories, I will say this first, you can take all that kind of steamy romance stuff out and the story still stands alone. Like, for instance, Child of the Fallen Angels, there's a lot of steamy, hot scenes going on in there, but it's actually a story about witchcraft and how somebody uses witchcraft to make things go their way, and ultimately the outcome happens as they intended, but in the meantime, the way they got to that outcome, you know, wasn't really worth it.
I like that. Now, what about Tanya? What's going on in your book, Tanya?
That's a little short story about a really messed up love triangle.
Here you go again, you little pervert. What's going on in that?
A little messed up love triangle.
Uh-huh.
And that one, actually, with that one, I'm hoping to do a couple of follow-ups, just a couple of shorts here and there. Different things that have gone on. Yeah, that's kind of based off of a true story.
Ooh, let's keep that in mind, people. We want to read Tanya. Now, what about So, So, So Good? Oh, my God, it gets worse as I read the titles to these books. That's definitely got
to
be an 18 and up one.
Yeah, that one, maybe you should be 21. Maybe even 30.
Oh, you God!
Know?
Oh,
you
my
God! You might need to
God.
Wait until you're 30 to read that one. That
Damn.
One... I didn't realize the titles were giving it away, but you're right. That one gets pretty hot.
Yeah, first you're a child of a fallen angel, then you move into your sex name Tanya, and then you start doing so good. Wow,
and it is. So good.
And the last title of your book is called Locked. So she obviously got locked up for doing all those perverse, perverted things, right?
Oh, now, Locked's not out yet. It's still in the editing phase. Last time I touched base with that publisher. But Locked's really interesting. That one actually, it's a horror book, but you can choose your own ending.
What?
So these four people get locked up in a house. And the ending, you can choose basically who's doing all the killing because everybody dies. I was having a bad year that time.
Mm-hmm.
That was interesting.
I guess you can only choose your own ending because of this new fangled way of reading, this Kindle thing. And is that right? You can choose your own ending because it's an e-book? What do you mean, choose your own ending? See, I don't...
Choose your own... it's just basically, like, when you watch a movie, you know how when you watch a movie and it has an ending and then, or you could click on it and it has an alternate ending?
Haven't come across
that. It'd be the same thing. There's just four different endings and you pick the one you like the best and who you want to basically have control over the whole situation.
Is that, again, I don't know anything about these Kindle books or stuff. Is this because it's an e-book that you're allowed to do that? Is that how it's allowed?
No, it's not interactive. It's just different endings you can pick from. If you want to go do this ending, you'd go to this page, this ending, that page.
I have no idea what the hell you're talking about, but I'm sure the listeners know what you're talking about. I still don't get it. Is this an e-book online?
Have you ever seen a paperback choose your own ending book?
No, I have not. Is this something new? What the hell's going on out there? I don't know what this is. All I know is there are movies where you get to choose your own ending on the DVDs, which I've never come across. I've never had a movie and I've never done that. So I've never had that choose your own ending experience. But I do know it exists. But I didn't know you could do that for a book.
Now, it would be neat to see it that high tech. But no, it's just basically, you know, ending one's on this page, ending two's on this page, and you get to pick the ending you want to read.
Hmm. Okay.
And with Locke, there's actually a second one that I'm working on, too. That story, I just really like it because where it picks up on the second part, no matter how you ended it, it picks up with this new set of characters, and they're a mess, those characters.
Well, you just seem to get a little spark, you become a flame when you talk about your books. I like that. This is the most excitement that I've heard from you so far, and that's very good. So that means you're very passionate about your books. Now, if an audience wants to read any of your books, where can we get a copy, or where can we read it?
Dark Rose Press. I want to say... They're all Smashwords.
Let's start with Child of the Fallen Angels.
That's Dark Rose Press.
Okay.
So I think it's darkrosepress.com. I believe also you could get that through Smashwords.
No, it says Tanya on your information. It says Tanya Dark Rose Press.
Through Dark Rose as well.
So Child of Fallen Angels and Tanya are both Dark Rose Press. And then So Good is Club Lighthouse Publishing. And then Locked is Freya's Bower. Now, isn't there one place where we can find all of these books? Can't we go to one location? You know, people don't want to be traveling all over to different websites. Where can we go? One-stop shopping.
I've linked them all up to the victoriacannon.webs.com website.
Okay. Okay. All right. So if people go to victoriacannon.webs.com, they can purchase the books there, or is it going to link them to Amazon? Are any of your books on Amazon? Excuse me.
I'm not sure. I don't believe so. I could be wrong, though. But it will link. I have them linked directly to the publisher. Are you still there?
Oh, Oh, yeah, I'm still here. I'm talking away. I don't know what happened. Yeah, one of your books is on Amazon, and I just don't know which one it is, but I know one of them is because I just sent out a major email blast announcing the show, and I put one of the links in there for Amazon, and it's only $4.99. So
they might be linked up now. They were just recently released, so it's possible they are linked up now to Amazon. I should probably check on that. I should know that. But I direct everybody to the publisher's site because they have the excerpts and the author information. And
well, as long as it's on your main website, people want to go there and then click on something to go there. Where the hell do you live? Do you live next to a train track? I keep hearing a train every couple of minutes. Do you live next to a train track?
Right next to it. That's where the twins' dad works, right on the railroad.
Oh, my God. That is fascinating. I just saw an episode of House Hunters with someone trying to sell a house right next to the train track. I like the sound of the train, so I'd buy it.
That's
okay,
funny.
So,
I don't even hear it.
Are you kidding me? Like, I'm sitting there timing it. I'm like, okay, what's the next one? Okay, I tagged that one at 5:30, and then here comes another one. Yeah, because you're probably immune to it by now. If you didn't hear it, you'd wonder what the hell is going on, right?
Well, it's like we used to live by an airport, and after being there a couple of months, you stop hearing the airplanes go over your house.
My God, what is it? Do you just pick houses near major traffic areas or major outlets for travel?
I don't know. Maybe it's the location, but I go for cheap rent.
Oh, there you go. All right. That's it. Cheaper
cheap
than the
rent.
Train tracks. All right. So now what is, you said, what is on the writing menu for you next? The second part of Locked, right? Anything else?
The second part of Locked, it's got
any plans
a couple
for
of shorts probably coming out.
Okay.
And then I'm working on another one. I guess it's similar. Have you ever seen the movie The Butterfly Effect?
Yes.
With Ashton Kutcher and how he keeps going back in his life to change things and they just keep getting messed up further and further.
Honey, you had me at Ashton. I've seen everything Ashton does. Oh, yes. With Ashton. I invent things that Ashton will do in the future to me. So, yes, I'm very familiar with that. Yes. So.
Well, maybe you have a career as an erotic romance author, too.
I just can't imagine my little Sarah Richard, a.k.a. Victoria Cannon, writing those steamy, hot, sexy novels. You know, I might have to. How could I get some of these to give away as Christmas presents? What am I going to do to be able to give them as Christmas presents? Can you do that or no?
If you go to the websites, there's information on the websites, how to send them, and if there's gift cards available and whatnot.
So if we go to victoriacannon.webs.com, we will be able to find everything we need to know about doing this, right?
What I'll do is I might have to set up another link, but I'll set up another link to link it to the publishers. But
you need to do that. You need to have your website. Oh, I have a business. I have a company that does website design. That's why I'm going to school you right now with how your website needs to be set up. But your website needs to have all of your books, and it has to have on the titles you have the link to where you can buy it, say Amazon, and then you and or you can have it go directly to the publisher. But
right.
The least amount of clicking someone has to do, the more sales you're going to get. If people have to go looking for it, you can forget about it. People have no attention these days, very limited attention span. Okay, so guess what? Our time has come to an end. Can you believe it? And I've only heard 5 trains the whole time. So
here's one for you as we go.
Ah, one just left. Yeah, I wonder if the listeners can hear those trains, if it's just me. But I want to thank you so much. You've been so much fun, and I am going to read some of those little books. Now you got me all intrigued. I might have to buy one for my husband to steam up our Christmas vacation.
Yeah, I'll definitely send you one. You have a preference?
Yeah, well, I don't, but let's see. I'm going to choose based on the title I like best. I like Child of the Fallen Angels. So send me that.
Okay, I'll send you that.
Oh, you see, I can't even get an autographed copy because there's no damn paper. I can't even get a damn autographed copy from you. But go ahead, send it to me anyway. I'll just imagine you autographed it. You know what? You have to come back on the show because I adore you. I like you. I like your energy. I think you're really fun. And I want you to work on getting one of those books turned into a screenplay. Even if it's at porn. Oh, my God. You should be here in L.A. because any of your books, you could go 10 miles to the valley and you could get any one of those books that you wrote turned into a screenplay.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you say that because Locked was actually a low-budget screenplay I did, which is why there was only four characters in one house, one location.
Uh-huh.
So, and then I just wound up turning it into a book because I had... It was very difficult to find a legitimate producer who was going to produce it.
And you probably had a tap on your phone because it kind of was a little porn. You might have been operating a little porn out of that house. Well,
you never know.
Never know.
Never judge a book by its cover.
That's right. You're a little steamy thing, aren't you? Well, you're a lot of fun, and I would love to have you back on the show next year if you want to consider it. Contact me in January, and let's get you back on the show and give us some updates on what happened with the books, okay?
Absolutely, and I'll let you know of any new ones that are coming out.
Oh, well, let me know now. I'm looking forward to reading that book, and thank you so much. And I want to thank everybody for listening to Sarah Richard today, a.k.a. Victoria Cannon. Please check out her website, victoriacannon.webs.com, and tune in next week for William Constantine. If you want to call in, the number is right on the homepage of the LA Talk Radio website. We will be on from 5 to 5:50, and you have got to find out if you have any questions about psychics. He is one of the top celebrity psychics. He's done Rachel Ray. He's done, you name it. He's done the celebrity. So please call in and get some of your questions answered. He can tell you if there's some dark energy following you. He can tell you if you have light energy, if you have a question for the other side. I'm telling you, this is what he says. I'm neither confirming nor denying. But, hey, call in next week, Sarah.
Yeah, we need to see how my book sales are going to do.
That's right. There you go. Thank you, everybody. Sarah, say thank you and goodbye to your audience today.
Thanks again for having me. It was a lot of fun.
It was, Sarah. Thanks, everybody, to listening to Question Reality. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.